and welcome to the Journeys Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to check out the Journey Live this Sunday. Visit BocaJourney.com for service times and directions.
Well, once again, good morning. Welcome to the Journey. My name is Jason, and I'm one of the pastors here. It's great to see you today on Family Day, and also as we kick off our brand new financial fitness teaching series. And don't worry, I'll get to that in just a moment. But first, on your way in today, you should have received a program. Inside of there are your message notes. If you would, go ahead and find your message notes. And today, we're kicking off this new series where over the course of the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about the habits to how we can become financially fit and financially healthy. And what's really interesting about that is that there's a direct connection between your financial health and your spiritual health. And so together, we're going to take some steps as a church to get in better shape financially. And listen, I think it's so important that we talk about this, especially in the church, because money and finances is such a point of stress for so many of us. It's such a reason that we don't have peace in our lives. And so just like every year, I go to the doctor and I have a physical checkup, I want us to consider these next few weeks as an opportunity to have an annual spiritual financial checkup. And so we're going to begin that today. And you know, sometimes when you go to the doctor for that annual checkup, the doctor says, you know, things are pretty good. I mean, there's some things you could do better, but by and large, your health is really good. And that's a really good feeling, by the way, when the doctor says that. And you know, some of you here today, that's exactly where you are financially. You're not in dire straits when it comes to money and finances and debt and those kind of things, but there's some things that if you would look into God's word and discover some principles that he has for you would lead to greater blessing in your life, greater peace in your life, greater opportunity in your life. But then, you know, sometimes you go to the doctor for that physical checkup and the doctor says, whoa, wait a minute. We need to talk about some things because, you know, your blood pressure is really high or your cholesterol is really high. If you don't make some changes in your life right now, then you're going to be in a really bad spot here very, very soon. And, you know, there are some of us who are here today, if we're honest, that's exactly where we are financially. 2017 is not shaped up to be the kind of year that we thought it would be when it comes to money and debt and our finances. And so you're realizing that you're not as financially healthy as maybe you thought you were. And so there's some changes that you need to make, some things that you need to do to help you get more fit financially. You know, some of you are coming back from the summer and summer vacations, and those credit card bills from summer vacation are coming to due, and you're starting to realize just how tight things are financially. Some of you are heading back to school, and maybe you're going to graduate this year, but you're living with the stress of knowing that you're going to graduate with $50,000 of student loan debt. And that's starting to stress you out a little bit. Some of you want to start a family. Others of you are maybe thinking about retirement, but you're not in a financial position to really even consider either one of those options right now. Or maybe for you, you're just having a tough time making ends meet, just paying the bills, just paying the credit card bill and the power bill and the car payment. That's just all you can do. And so you're stressed out by that. Well, listen, I want you to know if any of that applies to you and where you are, you're not alone. Because there's a tremendous stress when it comes to finances here in our community, in our state, and even nationwide. I want you to see these recent 2017 statistics that came out from the U.S. Reserve. Here's what they found. U.S. household debt has increased by 11% in the last 10 years. By the way, wage increases are nowhere near keeping up with the amount of debt that we're going into. Average household U.S. credit card debt is now at $16,425. The average student loan debt, so the average college senior will graduate this year with almost $51,000 in student loan debt. And then get this, the average household savings is only about $5,000. So the average U.S. household is about $66,000 in debt just between credit card debt and student loan debt, not even talking about mortgage or car payment or any of that, and they only have about $5,000 in savings. I think it's really apparent and easy to see why we need this series, why we need to talk about this topic, because so many of us are dealing with such stress when it comes to our finances. And so making money, or maybe the lack thereof, that's the number one prayer request in our church. Every week when we pray for your prayer request, the number one prayer request in our church is around financial issues. But that's also the number one stressor in our community, even in a place as wealthy as South Florida. Finances are a source of stress. It's the number one reason for arguments in our homes and in our families as well. You know, it's true. We're just not as financially fit as we need to be, but there's good news. And the good news is, over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to open up God's Word, and we're going to discover some timeless biblical principles from God's Word to help us get fit financially. You see, in the Bible, God gives us these principles for how we can lower our debt, for how we can be wiser in how we spend, for how we can release financial pressure and find more financial peace, for how we can experience God's blessing in our lives. But I want to say this as we begin this series today, because this is not a financial seminar, because money is not a financial issue. Money is a heart issue. Indeed, money is a spiritual issue. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus tells us that there's a direct line between our heart and our finances. There's a direct connection between our financial health and our spiritual health. Let's read what Jesus says aloud together from Matthew 6, 21. It's right there in your notes, beginning with wherever. Are you ready? Go. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Now, a lot of times we think it's the opposite. We think that wherever our heart is, there our money follows. But Jesus says, no, money is that powerful. Money can bend your will. So wherever your treasure goes, your heart follows. Money is that powerful in our lives. And so for us, no matter what we think of money or no matter how much money we have, money is that powerful in our lives. If you have a little bit of money, money has the power to bend your will and make you make decisions solely based on financial things. If you have a lot of money, it has the same power to do that as well. And so financial health is key to our spiritual health. And so that's why over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to do this teaching series. We're beginning today, but then next Sunday, we're going to continue this series by looking at the number one enemy to financial health in our lives. And that's the enemy of materialism. We live in a society where just a little bit more is all we need, but it never satisfies. And so we always have to have a little bit more, more of this, new that, new this. And so materialism, it wrecks our lives financially. So we're going to talk about that next week. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about the habits that we need to develop to be financially fit, to be healthy when it comes to our finances. The Bible lays out great habits for how we can manage money and have less stress and more blessing in our finances. And then in a few weeks, when we wrap this series up, we're going to wrap it up with a message about breaking out of the debt trap. And on that day, we're going to do a debt-free giveaway where at each service, we're going to give away $500 to one person at each service to help them pay down their debt. So we're literally going to put our money where our mouth is and helping you get out of debt. And so that's where we're going, but it begins today. And today, we need to lay the right foundation for our financial health. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, because just like there are principles for getting physically fit, you know, like exercise and eating right and doing all these things, there's also principles for how we get financially fit so that we don't end up like this. Take a look. Okay, so to help us discover the principles for financial fitness, let's turn to our message notes. And we're going to go to a parable that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25. And here's the first principle in your notes. It's this. It's the principle of possession. And that states, everything I have belongs to God. Everything I have belongs to God. This is the starting point for financial fitness. This is a reality that we all have to come to terms with if we want to get financially fit. And to illustrate this principle, Jesus tells the story of a very wealthy businessman in Matthew chapter 25. And this businessman is about to go off on a trip, and so he calls together three of the guys that work for him, and he says, guys, I'm going to entrust you with my money. I'm going to entrust you with my wealth and my possessions, and I want you to take good care of that while I'm gone. And so we pick this story up in Matthew 25, 14. Jesus speaking here says, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. Now, before you turn the page, take your pen and underline those two words, his money. So the owner entrusts them with his money. Whose money is it? It's his money. It's the owner's money. It's not the servant's money. It's the owner's money. The owner says, this is my money. I'm giving it to you. While I'm going to be gone, I want you to manage this. And this is the principle that we sometimes call stewardship. That, you know, the servants are to manage the money that belongs to the owner. And I don't want you to miss this. Because in God's eyes, you and I are managers, not owners. God owns it all. The Bible says that every good gift, every perfect gift we have in our life comes from God. God owns it all. And so because God owns it all, we manage what God gives to us. It belongs to God. God is the owner. It's his. It's not mine. It belongs to God. Now, sometimes you say, well, Jason, wait a minute, because this is my money. I mean, I worked for this money this week. I went to my job. I put in my hours. The money got deposited into my bank account. Jason, this is my money. Well, my question for you is this. Where did you get the body to be able to go out and earn this money? Where did you get the intellect to be able to go out and succeed at your job so that you could earn this money? Where did you get the health so that you could go out and you could earn the money? Well, that comes from God. God gives you those things. And so everything that we have belongs to God. Everything that you have is on loan from God. And here's the truth. You didn't bring anything into this world with you, and you're not going to take anything from this world when you leave. And so God loaned what you have to somebody before you, and then now God has loaned it to you for your life, and then long after you're gone, God is going to loan it to someone else. You see, this is why this principle is so important, because until we understand this, until we realize that God owns it all, two things are going to happen. One, we're going to be driven by money and driven by the pursuit of gaining more money and having more money, and we're never going to have peace. We're always going to be stressed out about our finances. Because as long as I think that it's dependent on me, and it's entirely up to me to earn the money for my own life, I'm going to be driven by that. That's going to be number one in my life. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to make decisions in my life about earning money. I don't know. Any of you guys watch Shark Tank? Do you ever watch that show? I see we got some sharks in the room, I can tell. Listen, I was watching Shark Tank this week, and there's one of the guys who's in the Shark Tank, and literally his theme in life, his life motto is, if it doesn't make me more money, I don't do it. Now, we like to think, well, that's him. But honestly, sometimes that's us. Sometimes that's us as well, because we're driven by money. And we're driven by money until we realize that it's not my money anyway. It all belongs to God. But then also, until we realize that it all belongs to God, we'll also stress out about money. We'll wonder about where it will come from. So let me ask you, what area of your life right now are you most financially stressed by? You know, maybe for you, it's going back to school and you're having to pay for school, or you're having to pay for the debt that's coming after that. Maybe for you, you're thinking about retirement. Maybe you have a child on the way. Maybe you're thinking about starting a new business, and that's causing all kinds of stress in your life financially. Listen, I want you to know that whatever it is that you're stressing about financially, God doesn't want you to worry about that. God wants you to trust him. He wants you to trust him because he's the owner of it all. And he has promised that he will meet our needs, that he will give us what we need. And so he wants us to trust him, because just like the business owner Jesus' parable, God owns it all. And so open up your message notes to the inside. This first principle is so important to understanding everything we're going to talk about, not only today, but throughout this series. But once you make that realization that everything belongs to God, you're ready for principle number two, the principle of allocation. It's this: God has loaned me the money. So God owns it all, and whatever I have means that God has loaned me the money. And so he's loaned it to us for a period of time. But notice in Jesus' parable that he doesn't give the same amount to everyone. Matthew 25:15. About the owner, it says, he gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. So just like the servants in Jesus' parable here, we all get entrusted with different amounts. You know, we're not all equally wealthy. Some of us in this room have more, some have less. And no matter where you go in South Florida, I can guarantee you, you're going to have more than somebody else, and you're going to have less than somebody else. I mean, that's just the way that it is. It's not all equal in that way. The important point is that God has blessed us with something. And so God has given us something. So what matters is what we do with that something. Now, two of these servants of the master, they did very wisely. They did very wise things with their money. In Matthew 25:16-19, it says, the servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money. Underline that phrase, invest the money. So it says he began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work. Underline that phrase, also went to work, and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. So the first two servants, they invested the money wisely. They put their money to work. And I think this is a really important principle, because money is a tool. Money is not an end in of itself. Money is a tool. Now, some of you might say, well, Jason, I thought the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. No, that's not what the Bible says at all. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. When you make money number one in your life, when you love money more than anything else, that's the root of all evil. But money is value neutral. You know, money, it's like a brick. You know, if I was holding a brick here, I could use that brick to build a house, or I could use that brick to smash a window. The brick is just the tool. It's what I do with the brick. It's my intentions behind the brick. So it can be used to build up or it can be used to tear down. And money is the same way. Money is morally neutral. It can be used for good purposes or it can be used for bad purposes. And so there's nothing wrong with having nice things. The problem comes when nice things have you. And so when you become driven just to have those nice things, that's where you fall into this trap of the love of money and that being the root of all evil. So that's why it's so important what we're talking about here, because it matters that we understand that God has given it to us and that it's on loan to us. And so when we allow money to be master in our lives, it causes all kinds of stress. That's the reason why we're stressed out, because money has become number one in our lives, either the pursuit of it or worrying about it. So for you, when it comes to your life, what are you most worried about? You know, are you living with this kind of constant stress that you're not going to be able to pay the bills? Are you living with this constant stress and therefore you're a slave to money? Or are you living to earn more money and so therefore you're a slave to money as well, because all you care about is having more of what you already have? Well, in the parable, the three servants are given each a certain amount of money. And they're given that money to manage. So the first two make wise decisions with their money, but not the third one. The third one goes out, digs a hole, puts it in the ground. He hides it so that nothing can happen to it. You know, here's what I found. You don't always get to choose what God gives you, but you always get to choose what you do with what God gives you. You know, some of us here today have been given one bag. Others have been given five bags, some 10 bags. It doesn't really matter how much God has given you. It matters what you do with what God has given to you. That's the key to financial peace. The key to financial peace is not having more. It's being more content with what you already have. The key to financial peace is not having more money. It's being wise about the money that you do have. And so we have to choose, what are we going to do with that? And think about that for a moment. How are you investing your money? Are you investing in ways that honors God and that builds his kingdom? Or are you investing in ways that honors you and builds your kingdom? Which way are you going with that? Are you investing in your family's future? Are you investing in other people? You know, today we've got the peanut butter and jelly drive out here. I saw so many of you bringing that in. You're investing in families in need in our community. That's a wonderful thing to do that. You know, many of you are investing in God's church here. By the way, when you do that, I want you to know that you're a part of something that has eternal significance. Just so far this year, over 60 people have come to know Christ in our church. We've welcomed over 260 first-time guests through the doors of our church just in 2017. And when you give financially, you're a part of that. You're a part of this eternal impact that is happening in their lives and that's happening in our community. Now, if you're here today and you've never given a gift before, why not get involved in that? Why not be a part of that? You can use that offering envelope we gave you. It doesn't matter how much you give. Just give something today. Just get on the board, get started, and start experiencing the blessing of being used by God to do great things, but also experience God's blessing in your life as well. So God has loaned you the money, and what you do with it matters, because this is our next foundation, and this one's important. Number three, the principle of accountability states, one day God will audit me. One day God will audit me. And so God owns it all. He's loaned me some, and like a good owner, he's going to want to know, Jason, what did you do with what I gave you? God's going to audit me one day. He's going to want to know, am I doing the right things with it? God is watching to see how I use it. He's watching to see how you use it. You know, so we can waste it. A lot of ways to waste money, especially here in South Florida. You could waste a lot of money. You know, you could just hoard it. You could spend it all. There's a lot of ways to waste it, or you could use it. And you can invest it in the things that honor God. So God lets us choose. But Jesus says that one day we'll have to give an account of the choices we made with what God loaned to us. So back to our story here in Matthew chapter 25, verse 19. It says this, after a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. Now, before you turn the page, circle that word account. So the master said, hey, I gave you this money. I've been gone for a while. Let's get together. Tell me what you did with the money that I gave you. You know, God has made an investment in you too. God has given you certain gifts and certain abilities and certain talents and certain opportunities and certain resources and certain financial abilities and intellect and energy and all these things. And one day God is going to say to us, what did you do with all that stuff that I gave you? Did you use it just for yourself and to build your name and to build your bank account? Or did you use that to help other people and to serve other people and to do things that I care about? Well, this is what happens in our parable. The first guy, he took his five bags of silver, turns five into 10. The second guy takes his two bags of silver, turns two into four. They both doubled the money that the owner had given to them. And so the owner says, hey, good job. I'm really proud of you guys. You did a great job. But then look at what happens next. Look at what he says to him across the page in your notes, Matthew 25, verses 23 through 26. He says, you've been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man. Now, before we move on, look at what's happening right here. This servant is trying to turn the tables on the master. He's trying to blame the master for his poor money management. He's trying to say, hey, it's your fault. You didn't give me enough. You know, I didn't have enough money to do something wise with it. I didn't have enough money to invest in the things you care about. Look at what he says. He says, I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. Now let's pause here for just a moment, because there's a reason that Jesus tells this parable. And there's a reason that this parable is in the Bible, because the first two, they made wise investments. They took the money that was given to them. They put it to work, and good things happened. You know, it doubled. But then the third servant, he does nothing with it, and he tries to blame his boss for saying, hey, you know, I'm the victim here. You should have given me more. And if we're honest, we do the same thing sometimes. You know, we buy cars that we can't really afford to make the car payments on. We buy homes that the bank tells us we can afford, but at the end of the day, we know we really can't pay for those things. We put things on our credit cards that we know we're never going to be able to pay off. Listen, how we use our finances is our responsibility. The choices that we make in our finances, it's on us. And one day God is going to audit our lives. He's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do? Did you invest what I gave you, or did you bury it? Did you use it, or did you hide it? Did you invest it in things that I care about, or did you just use it for yourself and just hoard it all together? And whatever our response to that question is, God is going to have one of two responses for us. He's either going to say, good job, my good and faithful servant, or he's going to say, you wicked, lazy servant. This is the principle of accountability. How we invest our money matters, not just to us, not just to our families, it matters to God, because God is the one who has given it to us. By the way, this is why it's so important to keep track of how you use your money, how you spend your money, even how you give your money. And for those of you who automate your giving or use an offering envelope or give through online or text to give here at The Journey, you know, every year we send you four quarterly giving statements. And we send those to you because we want you to be able to look at that and see and audit yourself, you know, to see, okay, am I on track? Am I giving what I thought I was giving? Am I, you know, giving more than I thought I was giving or giving less? But we send that to you as a tool for you so that you can stay on top of that as well, because what we do with God's money matters. That's why if we want to lay a healthy foundation for our finances and even for our spiritual lives, we have to understand these principles, but especially we have to understand principle number four. This is the principle of utilization, and it states, I must use God's money wisely. I must use God's money wisely. So God owns it all. He loans me some. Like a good owner, he's going to want to know what I did with that, and someday I'm going to be accountable for that and what I did with what he gave me. Therefore, I must use God's money wisely. God expects me to use it. Not to hoard it, not to sit on it, not to hide it, not to dig a hole in the sand and bury it down there. It's probably a good way to lose it in South Florida. You know, he doesn't expect me to do that. He wants me to use it. Remember, money is a tool. And so God wants me to use that money for his purposes and to be wise with it, not just to stockpile it. He expects me to invest what he loans to me. But of course, that's not what the third servant did. The third servant went and hid it. Look at what happens in Matthew 25, verses 25 through 27. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. So he didn't do anything useful with it. It's not, he didn't put it to good use. He didn't put it to work. He didn't even put it in the bank where it would be safe. He did absolutely nothing with what had been entrusted to him. And the owner says, you're wicked. That's a pretty strong word right there. I mean, we don't oftentimes think of that word wicked when it comes to, you know, mismanagement of our finances. But Jesus says, listen, this is serious. This is a serious sin. Jason, it's wicked for you to misuse the resources that I've given to you. It's wicked of you to misuse the time and the talent and the treasure and all the things that I've given to you. It's wicked. If you do nothing with that, it's inexcusable. By the way, this is true with everything. You know, it's inexcusable if we don't use the talent God has given us. If we just let it lay dormantly by and we don't use that for things that he cares about. It's not right if God has blessed us with money or God has blessed us with time or influence or opportunities and we just waste those things instead. Because here's the thing. The greatest use of our lives is to invest in things that will outlast us. Not just the things that bring temporary pleasure in the moment, but the things that will actually outlast us. God says, listen, this is a test. And if I can't trust you with something as simple as money, how can I trust you with the more important spiritual things? It's a test. You see, God didn't put you on earth just to take up space, just to use up resources, just to stockpile things for yourself. No, he put you on earth so that you could use your time and your money and your energy and your talent and your intellect and all those things for good and for God. And God would rather you try and invest what little bit that you have to make a lasting difference than to just stockpile what you have and do absolutely nothing with it. You know, some of you here today, you've lost your joy. Maybe when it comes to finances. You see finances and you see life just as a constant stress. And you're going through life, you're going through the motions. There's no joy, there's no energy, there's no excitement, there's no passion, there's no enthusiasm in your life. You're just putting in the hours at your job and waiting for them to put the money in your bank account. Listen, if that's you, you are missing what God intended for you. God has so much more for you than just putting in the hours and putting in the time and earning the paycheck and having a little bit of fun on the weekend. He has so much more for you. God gives us what we have, but it matters how we use it. It doesn't matter how much we have, but it matters greatly what we do with it. And then when we act like the third servant, when we do nothing with what God has given us, look at what it says here in Matthew 25, verses 28 through 29. Look at what the owner did. He says, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. So the owner says, listen, I can't trust you with this, so I'm going to take away what I've given to you and I'm going to give it to someone that I can trust it with. And then Jesus makes this principle. He says, to those who use well what they are given, what does that say? Even more will be given and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. He lost it. He lost what God blessed him with because he wasn't using it for anything useful. And so we have to be wise about what God blesses us with. The choice is ours. And this, of course, leads us to our final foundation for financial fitness on the back of your notes. Principle number 5 is the principle of compensation, and it states, God will reward me for good management. God will reward me for good management. God owns it all. He loans us some. He's going to audit our lives and wants to know how we're going to use that. So therefore, we must be wise. We must use those things wisely. And when we do, number 5, God will reward me for good money management. The Bible says that when we get to heaven, that our roles and our rewards and our responsibilities are all going to be determined by what we did in this life, by how we lived in this life, by what we did with what we were given here. This life is a test. It's a test. Jesus says that money is a test. It's a test to see what's really first in your life. But he also says that money is a trust to see if you really trust God. Do you really trust God to meet your needs? Do you really trust God to bring you through the financial challenge or crisis that you're going through right now? And see, this is what I love about this series, because we're going to talk about some really helpful things for you. We're going to talk about how to get out of debt. We're going to talk about how to be wise in your spending and how to keep track of these things. All these fantastic biblical principles that you're going to learn for your finances here in the series. But most importantly, what you're going to learn to do during this series is trust God more. Because when you learn to trust God with your finances, you will trust God with anything. You will trust God with everything. Look at what Jesus says in He says, and if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. Now let's read this last sentence together, beginning with you. Ready? Go. You cannot serve both God and money. Take your pen and underline that phrase. You cannot serve both God and money. Now notice Jesus didn't say, you should not serve both God and money. He didn't say it's not advisable for you to try to serve both God and money. What does he say? He says you cannot. It's impossible. You cannot have God as number one in your life and money as number one in your life. You cannot serve them both. Only one thing can have the number one spot in your life. And so whatever is number one in your life, that becomes your God. And when we put money number one in our life and the pursuit of things and the pursuit of possessions and the pursuit of pleasures and happiness that comes from the money that we earn, when we put that number one in our life, that's what we live for. And we live for so little when we live for that. But when we put God in first place in our lives, and we live for him, and we live for his purposes, and we live for his kingdom, and the things that he wants to accomplish in this life through us, man, we're really living. There's going to come a day at the end of my life, the end of your life, where every one of us will stand before God. And I believe there are two questions that we'll certainly answer as we stand before God. The first question is, what did you do with my son, Jesus? This is the question of salvation. And God's going to want to know, did you trust him? Did you put your hope and your faith in him? Did you trust him to forgive your sins and give you eternal life? That's a very important question. In fact, that's life's most important question. And if you don't know the answer to that question, in just a moment when we pray, I want to help you discover the right answer for that. But then a second question he's going to ask us is, what did you do with what I gave you? You see, God's going to want to know. I gave you all of these things. I blessed you with these things. What did you do with what I gave you? You know, one of my biggest fears in life is that someday when I get to heaven, God's going to look at me and say, Jason, you could have done so much more. You could have done so much more with what I gave you, but you didn't use it in the right way. You kept too much for yourself. You were driven too much to have. You misused it, and so you missed out on so much more that I had for you. Instead, what I want God to say to me and what I want God to say to you is what the master says to the two faithful servants in Matthew 25, 21. This is our memory verse for this week, so let's read this verse out loud together. Are you ready? Go. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Listen, if you had to answer those two questions today, what have you done with Jesus? And what have you done with what God has given you? How would you answer those questions? In just a moment as we pray, I want to give you an opportunity today just to pray to God and open up your heart to him and make a commitment to him today. And say, you know what, God, I'm not going to let my life be driven by money. I'm going to use money as the tool that you've made it in my life, but I'm going to invest in the things that really matter. I'm going to invest in the eternal things. I'm going to put my money in the things that really matter because I realize that this is not just a money thing, what we're talking about during this series. It's a heart thing. It's a trust thing. It's a spiritual development and growth thing. So let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to this important topic in Scripture. And God, there's perhaps maybe nothing else in our lives that is so important to us, Lord, than having the money that we need to live the lives that we need to live, to put food on the table, to pay bills. God, we're so connected to that. And God, we thank you that you know us well enough to know, Lord, that this can be a primary driver in our lives. So, Father, thank you for speaking to this in this parable, Matthew 25. God, thank you for helping us understand that, Lord, it's really not ours to begin with. God, it all belongs to you. And so, Father, today as we pray, Lord, I pray that all of us here in this room would just pray this prayer in our hearts. And this is you. You just pray this prayer in your heart. Say, dear God, I realize that everything I have belongs to you. It's not mine, it's yours. You've loaned it to me. And God, I realize that one day you're going to audit my life and you're going to ask me, what did I do with what you gave me? Father, I want to practice these principles that we're going to talk about during this series. I want to use your money wisely. I don't want to worry about my finances. I want to have financial peace. I want to learn the principles of financial fitness. Now, with our heads still bowed, here's what I know about this topic. Oftentimes, unmanaged finances are just the result of an unmanaged life. And there's some of you who are here today, and you need a life manager. You need Jesus Christ in your life. You need him to be the leader of your life, the manager of your life. It means to, and when you become a follower of Jesus, it means that you're putting your life under new management. You're saying, God, I'm not going to just live for myself and my ways anymore. I want to live for you. Listen, if you're here today and you've never said yes to a relationship with Jesus Christ, then right now, would you just pray this prayer? Say, Jesus, I want you to be the manager of my life from this day forward. I want to follow your will and your way. Forgive me my past. I want to live for you. In your name I pray. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this podcast. This is only part of what you can experience live at The Journey. When you join us for a Sunday service, you will experience practical teaching, rocking music, casual dress, a great kids program, and a church experience that's actually fun. Visit BocaJourney.com for service times and information. If you would like to give to the ministry of The Journey, you can give online anytime at www.BocaJourney.com/giving. If you have questions or feedback, please email us at hello@BocaJourney.com.